fellas, this time of year that we do get excited about, ladies and gentlemen, it's always a pleasure to talk about the NCAA basketball tournament. We have a lot to talk about with our guest, Brother Johnny, Hall of Famer engineer in the National Academy of Sciences and Hall of Famer in Canton, Ohio, Mike Ditka. Gentlemen, good morning. It's always fun when you get to talk of basketball and brackets. And how about those Pitt Panthers, Mike? You played basketball at Pittsburgh.
Well, that's a vicious rumor, but I did. they're not a bad team. They got a number one seed. But you know what? It's going to be interesting. You know, excuse me, I listened to all the experts out there today and yesterday and talking about what's going on and what's going to happen. You know there's going to be some major upset.
Oh, yeah.
You take that for granted. So it's going to be pretty interesting to watch this thing come down because, you know, you take these small colleges that nobody hears about, and I'll tell you what, they got a lot of good players on there.
Well, Johnny, if we can win two, beat Lon Kruger and Bill Self, everybody thinks Illinois season would be unbelievably successful.
Well, Steve, that's right. And so we, by the way, what about 11 teams from the Big East, Mike? That's amazing. That's just amazing.
It really is. And there were a couple teams, I guess, that were left out that people kind of got bent out of shape over, and they put a couple teams in that you wonder why. But you know what? It happens every year. People, they get over it. I mean, but you're right. The Big East, I don't know. They must be looked on pretty favorably by the selection committee.
And they have good solid league. We've got, we play our old coach, Lon Kruger, on a 9-game winning streak. But we don't have to play the team that everyone picked to win the whole thing till the second game, Steve. So they've done it again.
That's right.
And, of course, our team has issues, Mike. We have a hard time finishing a basketball game. I watched the King speech with the guy, the King George VI, great movie, won the best picture. And the guy can't talk. And it's kind of watching Illinois that last 6 minutes. It's like we can't score. So we need that therapist, Jeffrey Rush, to come help us, Steve.
And tell you what, though, it is fun. And when we come up this Thursday and Friday and have wall-to-wall 12 hours of basketball with four screens, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, and I think we're a good team. If we could close one out, we could beat anybody. And we were up Ohio State, we were up 8 points with about 10 to go. But played a good game the whole game and have had some really good games. Texas was overtime, wasn't it, Steve? And they're a pretty good team.
No, very good. And you know what, Mike? You know, at the end of a ball game in any sport, you got to have somebody say, "Give me the ball."
Well, you know what? Sudden death, you know, so anything can happen. You know, guys, I'm telling you, you know, we're talking about you. Can they beat them? Yeah. You know, Penn State, you know, played pretty good for a while against Ohio State, too. It's hard to say. Somebody's going to beat somebody. You know that. And whether it's Pitt has a bad shooting night, they're going to get in trouble. It's that simple because they can rebound. They play pretty good defense. But if they don't shoot the basketball pretty good, they got problems.
And well, you're right about those teams, some of those smaller colleges, too. They're just good basketball teams now.
Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah. They got guys we haven't heard of, really. They haven't got the publicity the other schools get or the other players get, and they're pretty darn good.
Remember last year, Butler was a 5 seed and got all the way to the last shot and almost pulled a Jimmy shot. Was it Jimmy Chitwood from Hoosiers? I mean, almost pulled it off.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. And that was a legitimate basketball team, Steve. That wasn't a fluke. Right. Those guys played good that whole tournament, and they were fun to watch.
Let the brackets begin. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, unable to decide how to divvy up $9 billion a year, NFL owners and players put the country's most popular sport in limbo Friday by breaking off labor negotiations hours before their contract expired. The union decertified and the league imposed a lockout. 10 players, including MVP quarterbacks Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, sued the owners in federal court in Minneapolis. Then at midnight, the owners locked out the players. Mike, you went through this in 87. Is this similar?
Well, I don't know if it's similar. I think people go through this thing, and, you know, when it's all over, Steve, you say, what have we really accomplished? I think you got to be very careful with that. And I understand why you have guys like Manning and Brady suing the NFL. And you know, be careful now. You know, these guys make millions and millions of dollars because of the National Football League. If that league wasn't there, where would they be? I mean, I don't want to, you know, play the devil's advocate. I'm just saying there's got to be some sensible way to come to a conclusion on this. Both, you know, the players, the owners don't want to shout out Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. I mean, but, you know, it's part of the procedure. I mean, and the players don't really want to be out, but it's part of the you know, they're trying to make a harder deal, a hard line deal for money. And it basically, it's all it's come down to is money. I don't think the other things matter as much. I mean, I don't think the 18-game schedule, that stuff is that important. I know what they're talking about, the retirees. I know what they're talking about with the one other thing they had in there. But I think it's going to come down to money. The split is what they're looking at. And you know, but here's let me just say one thing. If I own a business, supposing, John, you bought a car business. You own a car dealership. And the car dealership was terrible, and you build this thing up, and you turn it into a great dealership. I mean, you employed your people, you've done it into a great dealership. So all of a sudden, you become very successful, and then all the people that work for you come to you and say, well, we want to own half of it. Well, wait a second. Where's
well, and
I mean, what about the amount of risk put into it? Somebody, there's risk. Now, these guys took their franchises, and they drove them up to be a $1 billion franchise or $800 million, whatever they're worth. But they weren't worth that when they started. And there's always risk involved when you start a business or you own a business. So I'm just saying, you know, you got to look at it both ways.
I'm for the players. I got to agree, Mike. I'm kind of thinking the players had a pretty good deal there, and I just can't understand why they walked away from the owners actually seemed to bend quite a bit on what they were originally saying, and it came down to a couple hundred million out of 9 billion. So I don't know if, like you say, it's kind of let's go through the motions, we might get a little more money, or whether the agents and the attorneys involved for the players. I always thought Upshaw was better because Gene Upshaw played NFL football, didn't he, Mike?
He did play. Yeah, he played in league, but he also turned his back on the former players. So, I'm not an Upshaw guy, and I never will be.
Well, but he at least had some inkling of what he was arguing about.
These guys, they all know what they're arguing about. They're arguing about money.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Down the greed. How much is enough? How much do we need? And I think you got to be careful when you start doing that because, first of all, you know, the public doesn't need to see millionaires arguing with millionaires about millions. I mean, basically, that's what it's coming down to. So you get very, very, you know, it's very tiring to watch that stuff. You know, I think, you know, I can't go back. You know, I got to go back 50, 60 years when I played the game. But you're going back and you're saying, okay, it was an opportunity to have a job. It was an opportunity to make some money and maybe get yourself a better job in the business place. I mean, and that's all it was. It was a stepping stone for us. It wasn't the end of the line, and it was never meant to be the end of the line, but that's what it's become to these people. And you made one other point in there. What has destroyed sports is agents, period.
Now, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka talking NFL Lockout here on the new 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. As a barometer, is it fair, because I thought of this over the weekend, is it fair for me to say, okay, let's talk about the jobs in a union? And if you say, okay, if you're not happy, let's open it up to other people, what kind of reaction would you get? In this case, no, you wouldn't get Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, but there's a heck of a lot of good football players that would die for an opportunity to get this chance in the NFL, wouldn't they?
Absolutely, and people would get used to it. They would, as long as the competition is competitive, people would get used to it. I'm just telling you, I'm sorry. I wish these people, both sides, would come to the senses. This makes no sense at all to me. This is too important. I mean, you're talking about arguing about some money, millionaires, when the country's going through what it's going through, when the world's going through what it's going through, when you're sitting on top of the world, you know, as a football player, making the kind of money you're making and being idolized the way you are. Come on, let's enjoy it. You're going to be there for 10 or 15 years. Take the ride, enjoy it, get out, and let somebody else get in the seat.
I think, Mike, you make a good point about the owners and the risk, but also it's the owners and the organization that have built up the hype and the entertainment value that makes those guys so valuable.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I agree
they
with you.
Do their job as athletes, but
they do.
But they're not the ones that are creating the value of the league, and that's from negotiating with television and selling it to advertisers. There's a lot that goes into that value, and I think they're obviously getting paid enough as a group. Maybe they could even it out a little bit more, but I don't know why you would quit over the difference of $200 million right now in a $9 billion pot. So.
Because it's a hard line thing right now. It becomes, it's my way or the highway.
To me, Mike, if there's one group you don't say my way or the highway to, it's the NFL owners, because they will go the mat. They're not going to back down once they draw a line.
I mean, I think you can take them so far, John, but I don't think anybody can afford not to have football, the players or the owners or the fans or anybody else. I mean, look at the side jobs in stadiums, the vendors. Look at what it creates, parkers, guys who park. I mean, the number of much employment that the NFL creates nationwide just by being in existence come football season.
And then
just think about it.
And then you see.
This affects all the people in the office. Come on, gang. There are no bonuses going out now. And everything's on hold. I mean, believe me, it affects people in the TV industry. They're not giving out TV contracts to do football games right now if there's no football.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, when you think about this, it's a big thing. I mean, it involves a lot of people and a great part of our society that's involved in sports is involved in this. So all I'm saying is, hey. I mean, try to work it out. My God, it's not that big a deal.
And, Johnny, I was going to say, and the other aspect of it is here's Tom Brady who's suing the NFL, and here are pictures of Tom Brady with a super Brazilian model in Carnival in Rio de Janeiro, and you can't feel sorry for him.
Well, he's suing the NFL on a matter of procedure, like Mike says. I don't even know what the whole story is,
NFL,
but that's kind of the game plan.
What is it, Mike?
The NFL Players Association basically is suing the NFL. They're using Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees. They're using those guys as the fronts. But basically, it's a suit by the Players Association.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, and again, it's very difficult to say, you poor guys, those evil guys. I mean, it just angers everybody.
Yeah.
It just angers everybody. It's ridiculous. Get it done.
We'll see what happens, guys.
Well, 7:46 in Champaign-Urbana. We got Mike and Johnny on. We talk all kinds of things on Mondays and Fridays between 7:30 and 8 with Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka. All right, we've touched on the NCAA. We've touched on, of course, the NFL lockout. What's happened in Japan is heartbreaking. And I mentioned earlier, the only thing I know what to do at this moment is pray for him. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, it's a tragedy.
Right. I think there'll be some ways to raise money or whatever, because this is a caring country and a sharing country, and as much criticism as this country gets, it's always the first one to step up to the plate when disasters happen around the world. What happened in Japan is, well, it's beyond comprehension. I mean, you just can't comprehend this happening, and it happened.
Well, and it's such a, the earthquake actually did quite a bit of damage in addition to tsunami, and now they've got these nuclear reactors they're fighting, and of course that's just scares us all. And of course, what do you do? I mean, they tried to design for that, and obviously it wasn't anticipating something like this, and everything falls apart. So.
Yeah.
You just pick up the pieces. I'll tell you what, it really, even with having been through Katrina, I think this is worse than that by quite a bit.
How much does it complicate things, obviously, in an island when you don't have landfills and you have to get ships in there to get the debris and all of that?
I'm sure it just makes a big logistics problem, makes it that much worse, because, like, that's a good point. There's just no space to put everything. So it's a real crisis, and it's they're just finding more and more things about how bad it is. Right now, it just seems to be finding more and more bad things out. So hopefully things will start taking a turn for the better, Stevie.
Yep.
Yeah, there's probably not a country in history of the world that's ever made the comeback to Japan. They come back, came back from World War II with the atomic bombs and the whole society and what they built over there economically and everything. And it's a resilient people. They're great people. And to do what they did coming back from the war, World War II, and now to have this happen, it's absolutely, it's mind-boggling. It doesn't make any sense. But, then again, these freaks of nature make no sense, but they just happen.
Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, coming up, we'll be in our final segment after these messages on 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM.